We have to start with Anthony Edwards. What a week for that guy. Really a great week for the team, even regardless of a loss to the Nuggets on Tuesday night. We're talking here on Wednesday. This is the John Krasinski Show. I want to get John's take on Anthony Edwards and what his rise means for himself and maybe even the league. We're coming to you from the Aquarius Home Services Studio. Thanks to our many sponsors, including Define Destinations, TSR Injury Law, Headflyer Brewing, and Shepherd Goods and Lamb Chops Clothing Line. We're going to tell you about a trip that John is taking to Spain this summer with Wolves fans, or anybody who wants to. You don't even have to be a basketball fan to enjoy Spain with Define Destinations, who does a great job of putting on these trips. That we've done it with Michael Russo before. They've done it with other local celebrities. These things are a big hit for people to go on. We'll give you more information on that later. John will also give you a live Twitter question later on. And thanks to our producer, Brandon Morton. If you like this show or any show at TalkNorth.com, please subscribe to your favorite podcast app. It's free. It's the easiest way to listen. And we do appreciate you listening. All right, John, what has this week meant for you in your perception of Anthony Edwards and his rise to stardom?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly is like the next big step that he had to take. Not only, you know, since Karl Anthony Towns has gone down, we knew that he was going to get a bunch more shots. Oh, he's going to have a bigger role in the offense, all of those things. But I just think that there's two things that really stand out. One is he is playing the game with a maturity level that we have not seen from him in the past. And what that means is he's not just taking 35 shots a game. What he is doing is using the gravity that he commands offensively and making plays for others, making the right reads and the right passes, not forcing things too much. And so that makes it much harder to guard him. And it also opens up things for his teammates to such a higher degree that seeing him kind of blossom this way, even if they're not winning every single game, I think is going to be really beneficial for him in the playoffs. And then the second thing is the nightly highlights that he is producing make him, I think, the best just show in the NBA right now. Like, you tune into an Anthony Edwards game and you're going to see some, you know, incredible plays, you know, the dunk on John Collins, the block shot in Indiana. Like, these aren't just like highlights. These are things that lead SportsCenter. And that's not been something that the Timberwolves have had in their franchise's history ever, really. Is he is becoming the kind of box office star that really demands attention from national TV, from fans who are not necessarily Timberwolves fans, who become Anthony Edwards fans. And that's been really cool to see, just kind of the jaw-dropping highlights sort of transcend the local highlight reels and go national and really like just dominate sports talk shows and all of those things. It's a whole different level than what we're used to seeing from a Timberwolves player.
I tend to think of the dunk in the modern era as an incredibly overrated play. Of course, NBA players can dunk. You get 2 points for it, and often it's in garbage time and it doesn't influence the game. This dunk was different. This dunk made you hold your breath. It was important in the flow of the game. It was truly a statement. And he dislocated his finger on the dunk and then came back and made the free throw. I mean, this was a dunk that actually makes watching dunks worthwhile.
It was everything like that you could ask for, because not only was it a soaring dunk, just in, you know, the kind of thing that is above and beyond even the biggest, most violent dunks that you normally see on a regular basis. But in that moment, in that game against Utah, they weren't really playing that well. They were, you know, you're playing a team that doesn't really want to be competitive, and they were on a long road trip. It was their first game after 3 days off. They'd spent a bunch of time in LA. It looked like they were stuck in the mud. They weren't playing consistently. Anthony Edwards wasn't playing all that well. Then he throws down the dunk, dislocates his finger, goes to the locker room, tapes it up, pops it back in a joint, tapes it up, comes back before the timeout that they called is over, hits the free throw, and then proceeds to play incredible basketball the rest of the way to lead that team to a victory that they absolutely needed. I mean, it was the kind of galvanizing moment that you just like that's rare. Like, it's hard for a player to command that kind of response from a single play in a game. But that thing resonated to a remarkable degree, both in the arena at the time and in the game, and then certainly afterward, as you saw SportsCenter lead with it, as you saw ESPN Today, NBA Today to lead with it, Dunk of the Year kinds of conversations. Like, those are the moments that make a 82 game season, you know, worth going through and worth enduring. And it was just out of this world amazing.
Also, as you noted, that game to me was the ultimate trap game. End of a long West Coast road trip, playing in a place where, even though Jazz aren't good, they got Markkanen back and Collins back, it tends to be a tough place to play. You have Denver the next night at home. You know you're facing the long flight. You're without your two best big men. Naz Reid leaves the game with a apparent concussion during the game. It was a game that just almost begged you to lose. You know, if they lost it, we'd have gone, okay, that makes sense they lost that game. And Edwards absolutely, it wasn't just that play either. Edwards absolutely took over that game and made sure his team would win that.
Yes, that's it. I mean, that's, and right after he dunks it, one thing that we always know about seeing Anthony Edwards dunk, we've seen it a million times, is that he loves to flex. He loves to holler at the rafters. He loves to kind of talk a little smack and really impose himself physically after a play like that. This time, he got real quiet and he looked at his finger, and you saw Jaden McDaniels, Monte Morris look at his hand as well, and their eyes were popping out of their head. And you're thinking, oh no, this is not good. He ran immediately to the locker room. I've seen Anthony Edwards get injured, run back to the locker room and come back a multitude of times. It's kind of a running joke within the locker room about how it always looks like he's been, you know, shot or something. And then he comes back out 5 minutes later and he's jumping rope and he's getting back in the game. I thought for sure that he had broken a bone in his hand some way. And even though it was his left hand, I was like, oh man, he's out for weeks. This is terrible. Well, Chris Finch calls a timeout and Edwards goes to the back. They pop the finger back in place. It's dislocated and he comes back out. And not only does he come back out and not miss a minute of action, but he plays really just in control and dynamic at the same time down that stretch. He's hitting jump shots, hitting threes, going to the rim, making passes, getting others involved. Like, that's the kind of performance, even though we know his teammates love him, we know that they'll follow him anywhere and they'll run through a wall for him and all of those things. But when you do it like that, when you, first of all, pull off a dunk that maybe one or two other players in the league can do, you do that. That's amazing. Then you practically break your finger and come back and play. That's even more amazing. Then you not only come back and play, but you play incredibly well and efficiently and selflessly and great defensively, and you lead them to a win. That's the kind of thing that cements you, that just makes it 100% clear that you are the man. And to hear his teammates talk about it after the game, they are in awe of this person, of this teammate. And Ant does a great job of, while everyone is in awe of him, making them feel like he's just one of the guys. And so it's a really unique combination. And you take all of those things and you put those things together, and it's just a special cocktail. And I think that the Wolves are a little inebriated on it right now. And I do not blame them for it, because you're just seeing a 22-year-old take that next leap and show that he's not just an all-star, that he's a superstar. And if you have him on your team, no matter who else is injured, just like in the Denver game, you're still going to be in it because he is there and he can do things that no one else can.
He can do things that no one else can. He can do everything on a court that you want a basketball player to do, offensively, defensively, in transition. My question about him going forward, if we want to get into the conversation, could he be the face of the NBA in the future? My question is, does he want that? Because right now, Jokic is the best player in basketball, most valuable player in basketball, and he has no interest in any of that stuff. Michael Jordan, LeBron James, the great players in the game, they did act like royalty, but accessible royalty. They did all the interviews. They wanted to be at the podium. They wanted to answer the big questions. Does Anthony Edwards want that aspect of being one of the great players?
Yeah, I think he does, Jim. You see already he's been in a movie. He has his own shoe now and he's on a bunch of commercials. You can see that he takes opportunities to do media, that he knows will be beneficial to him in big time magazines, on ESPN, certainly with us beat writers as well for bigger project stories. He understands the machine that way around him. And I can tell you that there is a group around him that understands that he has a unique opportunity as an American-born player in this league, as someone with the natural charisma that he has to be that guy, to be the face of the league. Because even, like you said, Jokic, even Luka Doncic, who is amazing,
yes.
They're not faces of the league material, really. Nikola didn't want it. Luka, for whatever reason, maybe it's because he's European, maybe is a little bit more under the radar from an interview perspective, whatever it is, he just hasn't kind of transcended the way that Steph Curry has, the way that LeBron James has. And so the league absolutely needs to find someone or a couple of people to sort of take the baton from LeBron and Steph. It's still a very much LeBron and Steph centric marketing around the NBA as their two biggest stars. And Ant can do that because he has the charisma and the personality and he's American and all those things. But also I do think he wants it. I think he wants to be that guy. Now, what does he have to do? He has to continue to play the way he has. He has to have success in the playoffs to do it, to kind of make that step and be that guy. But he also does have to clean up some of the stuff off the court. Like nothing has been criminal. There's been no issues like that. But he has had a couple of well-publicized PR mess-ups that, the best of the best, the very elites, the LeBrons, the Stephs, the Michael Jordans, like those types of players, they just don't have those. And I think he will learn from some of the things that have happened and try and clean some of that up. But that's one thing that could prevent him from making that leap if he doesn't understand some of the gravity of some of those things that have happened that he's been involved in that can tarnish his star that way.
You mentioned some of the great players in the game and why they may or may not end up becoming the face of the league. And you're absolutely right. I think the person who has it all set up for him the best to take a run at that title right now as a new face is Jason Tatum. He is the mm-hmm. best player on the best team. They seem to be set up to win a championship this year. He has been a star in the Olympics. He has, he's incredibly productive. But even him, I look at him and I go, I don't know if that guy does it for me. Mm-hmm. Whereas when I watch Ant, I do see that because of the spectacular dunks, because of the chase down blocks, because of the way he plays, I think Ant, even though he's not as far along in his career and isn't as teed up to have it happen for him as Jason Tatum, I think Ant is a better candidate than Jason Tatum.
Yeah, I think so. One of the things that Ant is benefiting from right now is he's still been in the league a relatively short amount of time compared to Tatum. Tatum's still young, no doubt, but He has been in the playoffs a lot. To his credit, the Celtics have gone deep into the playoffs. They have not yet won a championship. I do think that right now, if there's a question about Tatum, he's a great, great player, plays both sides of the court, leads the best team in the league, but he has not had many of those real moments yet, especially in crunch times, where he's delivered hugely and the Celtics have won. Now, he certainly has had more moments in the playoffs than Ant, absolutely, but they've fallen short, the Celtics have, a couple of times. And in the finals, when they were in the finals, one of the reasons they lost was that Jason Tatum didn't play well at all. And so I think some of that is taking a little bit away from Tatum, whereas Ant just hasn't had that many opportunities yet to fail. So we'll see. This playoffs coming up is going to be really big for Ant, because if they lose in the first round again, then there's going to be a little bit more question about him. He's going to face, I think, a little bit more scrutiny. But if they can advance even to the second round, but ideally to the Western Conference Finals or deeper, then you're going to see him be able to have some of those moments that he's capable of having. He can win games for you. He wants it, the ball in his hands late, and he delivers in those moments, either offensively or defensively. And so there just seems to be a little extra sizzle with Ant, both personality-wise and game-wise, than Jason Tatum, that I think people gravitate to a little bit more. Now, we'll see over the long haul if he falls flat in some of these big spots and if that kind of takes away. But if he delivers in big spots like that in the playoffs, then you're going to see, I think, him get some real separation with Tatum in terms of that.
All right, let's hear about the Divine Destinations trip.
Yeah, defined.com. Go there for a taste of Spain with John Krasinski, August 22nd through 29th. It is going to be just a magical trip. We are going to Madrid and Barcelona. We are going to have several kind of food tours, some sangria and wine tours. We have tour guides who are there that can show us the best museums, that can show us the best sites to see in two of the most exotic cities in the world. We'll stay in 4-star hotels, both in right in the heart of Madrid and in Barcelona. And it's going to be just an amazing adventure. I've never been to Spain. I cannot wait. I'd love for you all to come with me. We will have some dinners and some meals together. We'll spend some time together. We'll talk some sports while we're out there. We'll just kind of enjoy each other's company. But there's also going to be plenty of time for you to also kind of go about on your own. Take your significant other, take your kid, take your friend, coworkers, whatever, come with us. And you're going to have plenty of time to spend with me talking hoops, talking Vikings, whatever it is, just enjoying Spain, but then also being able to go out and do your own thing, which is, I think, important for any of us in a trip like this. So again, go to defineddestinations.com for a taste of Spain featuring Madrid and Barcelona, August 22nd through 29th. It'll be something that you'll never forget, and I hope to see you all there.
We're coming to you from the Aquarius Home Services studio. We also want to hear about John's relationship with Head Flyer Brewing.
Yeah, Head Flyer Brewing, super fun time right now. It's tournament time. The playoffs are approaching, and that means it's crunch time season at Head Flyer Brewing in Northeast Minneapolis, right on Hennepin Avenue, just off of 35W. Go on in. They have Crunch Time, a citrus wheat ale that is a collaboration that I did last year and then now again this year. The cool thing now with this year's version of Crunch Time is you can find them in your local liquor stores in 4-packs. So you can go to Certix right in Northeast Minneapolis. You can go to any Total Wine in the metro area and find some Crunch Time beer. You can also go to several others. If you go to Head Flyer Brewing, Head Flyer Brew on Instagram, you'll see some of the advertisements of some of the other metro area liquor stores. Princeton Liquors is another one if you're on outside the city just a little bit. But it's a great, great beer. I've collaborated with them now for 2 years on it. It's a kind of a Blue Moon style citrus ale, really refreshing as the weather warms up, as you're enjoying watching the NCAA tournament, as you're enjoying watching the playoffs. Grab a Crunch Time beer either in the tap room, on tap, or at your local liquor stores, And if you go in the tap room, tell them John Krasinski sent you to Head Flyer Brewing, headflyerbrewing.com.
Our longest running sponsor is TSR Injury Lock, 612 TSR Time. You've seen the billboards. You've seen the new billboards of Naz Reid. You understand that the TSR has become such a big deal. They're basically partnering with the Minnesota Timberwolves. Well, they were gracious enough to bless us with their sponsorship a long time ago. They've been great partners. And hey, it's really simple. If I were injured, I would call 612 TSR Time because I know they take care of me. 612 TSR Time. That's all you need to know. We hope you don't need the number, but if you do need the number is 612 TSR Time. Now, let's hear about Shepherd Goods and Lamb Chops clothing line.
SGLambchops.com is the website. Shepherd Goods, Lamb Chops clothing. If you've seen Jordan Dye, colorful hair, courtside at Timberwolves games, you've seen Craig McCall wearing a hat with a beard, glasses. They are diehard, steadfast Timberwolves supporters. And so if you're a Timberwolves fan who loves this podcast, support the people who support us and support the Timberwolves. Shepherd Goods, Lamb Chops clothing. They have unbelievably high quality clothes. I love their hoodies. I love their shorts. They are so comfortable. I wear them all summer long. They have pants. They have sweatsuits. They have all sorts of different stuff that you could want. High quality goods for reasonable prices and super stylish. They're really cool. They've been in business for quite a long time. They are upping their game lately with some collaborations with the Timberwolves at Target Center, getting ready for the playoffs as well. SGLambchops.com. You go there, do some shopping. JohnK20, J-O-N-K-20 for 20% off any thing that you see at sglambchops.com. And at the end of this podcast, we will have a Twitter question, and the winner who gets whoever's question gets selected will get a free beanie from SG Lamb Chops. And so that's how cool those guys are. So again, support them, JohnK20 for 20% off at sglambchops.com.
What topic other than Anthony Edwards do you want to get into now?
Yeah, I think it's important, Jim, today to talk about the latest ownership situation.
Yeah.
We reported at The Athletic today that Shams Charani and I, that Mark Laurie and Alex Rodriguez have submitted their final financial documents and commitment letters for the money to get the last 40% of the team that would vault them into majority ownership status with the Timberwolves. It has come in a very interesting several days for this process, because just yesterday, we're recording this on, what is this? It's Wednesday today, right?
Yeah. Yep.
We're recording this on Wednesday. On Tuesday, the news kind of broke that that the Carlyle Group, which was an investment banking firm, had to withdraw from investing with Mark Laurie and Alex Rodriguez because of some conflicts with NBA league requirements for investment banking banks to get in on ownership groups. So they had to withdraw, and that was a $300 million loss for Laurie and Rodriguez. And so at that time, when that news breaks, you're thinking, holy cow, there's just no way with a deadline of next week that they can find a way to patch this together and put together a financial package to make it happen. Well, less than 24 hours later, they have secured Dial Capital, which is another investment bank that does have pre-approval from the NBA, and so is kind of underneath the NBA umbrella to make up most of the difference that was lost when Carlyle Group had to pull out. And so by securing them in very short order, they have received enough financial backing to submit their letters and their commitments. And now they go forward through the approval process. The most important part of this, Jim, as we continue to talk about it, is the Rodriguez and Laurie have their financial package now available to be reviewed in full by the NBA. And the Board of Governors still would have to approve the structure, where the money is coming from, all of the principal parties involved to allow them to ascend from minority partners to majority partners here. And so I don't think it's just a matter of this is going to happen. It's going to be a rubber stamp and you're going forward. I think the league is going to take a real close look at everything involved here and make sure that everything is in place, that the money is sound, not only to buy the team, but to operate the team going forward. And so there will be a lot of due diligence, a lot of vetting involved before Alex Rodriguez and Mark Lurie are officially approved as owners. They'll have to participate in that and go through all that. And so we'll just see. We'll see how this all plays out. But this was an important step for Mark Lurie and Alex Rodriguez, was to get the money together to pay before the March 27th deadline. They've done that. And so now it goes, now the process goes forward a little bit.
Given the way the value of NBA franchises has skyrocketed, and given the way the Wolves have played this year, they're having at least the second best season in franchise history. They're packing the joint. The NBA as a business model is booming. Do you think any part of Glenn Taylor is thinking, wouldn't it be great if this fell through and I got to keep the team or sell it for a higher price?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that there's a lot to look into there with Glenn. He is one of the ultimate businessmen, and he is used to making very favorable deals, you know, for himself. And that's what allowed him to amass the wealth that he has over his lifetime and put him in such an unbelievable position financially. So is it possible that he looks at it and says, man, I'm selling this to these guys for $1.5 billion. And if it fell through today, I could get it for $2.5 or $3 billion. It's possible that he would look at it that way. I think more likely, if there's any kind of seller's remorse for Glenn Taylor, it is that, man, this team is rolling now. The building is full every night. This is what he's always wanted as an owner. And he, I think he has very much enjoyed being there this season and seeing it come together. I think he really likes working with Tim Connelly and Chris Finch. I think it's a great environment for him. And so I do think he really enjoys it. And I wonder if, like, he ever thought that it would ever get to this point. Like, you know, you sign an agreement 3 years ago and you say, yeah, okay, one day I'll be ready to kind of hand this over. And then the day comes and now you're looking at it like, oh, wow, this may actually really happen. I would assume that if I were in his shoes, yeah, I would probably have some mixed feelings about this when you look at it and where the team is, and you have Anthony Edwards and you have all these wins, and it looks like it's set up to be competitive going forward here for a while. And, you know, you've endured a lot of difficult seasons, and now it's really fun. And are you going to enjoy that part of it? Or is it going to be hard to let go? I would imagine it would be hard for Glenn Taylor to let go this way. We'll see, you know. Again, this is not done. Something could happen. The league could have some problems with it and not approve it or something like that. And maybe Glenn could still hold on to the team. But if it goes through, yes, I think it will be bittersweet for him, because I think part of him knows that, you know, he has to have a successor in place. But to have it actually happen is I'm sure an entirely different emotion.
What do you make of Jaden McDaniels playing the way he did on Tuesday night against the Nuggets? And what do you think of his season overall?
Yeah, I mean, much needed, because, you know, he said after the game, like, he hasn't been able to hit a shot pretty much all year. And he's right. He's 100% right. You know, it's been, if you look at this season as a whole and how they have exceeded expectations in almost every respect, one player who has not exceeded expectations and has maybe been underwhelming has been Jaden McDaniels. He's been very, very good from a defensive standpoint, still does really well that way. You know, the offense has not come along. He's shooting really poorly in general. He just hasn't been able to seem to find a flow and a spot and a place for him in this offense with Rudy and Mike Conley and Ant and Carl and all of those things. So I think, you know, him having really the best game, I think, of his career against Denver on Tuesday night, with Rudy out, with Cat out, with Nas Reed out, with so many, with being so shorthanded on the second night of a back-to-back, to see him score that way that he did, to see him shoot the way that he did, to see him rebound the way that he did in the second half. I really think that he needs to build on that performance. It doesn't have to be 26-6 every night, obviously, but if he can use some of the confidence from the game against the Nuggets and parlay that going forward, that's kind of the missing piece of this Timberwolves offense. They've kind of languished for most of the year around 20, 19, 18 in offensive efficiency, but having Jaden McDaniels be able to knock down a couple of threes a game, get to the basket, score, you know, at the rim with some dunks, that would make things so much easier for this offense. And so I'm sure that the Timberwolves are hoping that, you know, the big night that he had against the Nuggets will carry over going forward here for him, because they do need him to get going. It has not been a good year for him offensively.
Last topic for today. You can also hear John on the Viking Update show on this network. I also recommend Don Mitchell's latest podcast, Dawn of Sports. Paul Allen was our guest. He was fantastic. Please check that out as well. Again, if you like a show on the network, please subscribe to your favorite podcast app. It's free. It's the easiest way to listen. Last topic for today. How concerning is the big man health at the moment?
I do think that both Rudy Gobert, who missed another game with the rib injury, I think he's close to returning. He went through a workout against the Nuggets pregame, wasn't quite ready yet. It's still pretty sore. But I would think that in the next couple of games, they play Cleveland on Friday, they play Golden State on Sunday, and the rematch against Draymond Green, I imagine he wants to be out there for that. I would expect sometime in the next one or two games, Rudy will be back out there. Naz Reid, similar. He had a head injury in Utah on Monday night, did not play on Tuesday night against Denver. But I don't think it's a long-term thing. I don't even think it's been necessarily classified a concussion. So I think you could see him back as soon as Friday, maybe Sunday, somewhere in there. So I think both of those guys will be back fairly soon here. It's just Towns that they're going to be waiting on for a little while, probably, you know, into the playoffs before he's ready to go again.
All right. Into the playoffs. You don't think he's back before then?
I really don't think so, Jim. I mean, maybe he's back working out. Right. That would be ideal if he could get back to just working out and kind of getting his wind back underneath him. But to expect him to play before the end of the regular season, I think would be asking a little much. So more likely gets back, starts to do some rehab. And then, you know, whether it's, is it the middle of the first round? Is it the start of the first round? I'm not sure. A lot of it just depends on how his knee reacts to the surgery and to the rehab. But I do think that the Wolves hold out hope that this is not like an 8-week thing, that this might be a 4 to 6 week thing, and that, you know, that he can come back sometime, you know, fairly early in the playoffs. And then it's a matter of how effective is he when he does come back. But by all accounts, the surgery went well. The injury itself was not major. And so they can kind of work through it together and get him back going where he needs to be.
All right, let's wrap up the show with your Twitter question.
Yeah, so a lot of great Twitter questions on a very, very busy news day. I'm going to go with Michelle Cishek. She's a longtime follower and a super Timberwolves fan that is always at games and stuff and a regular. So she says, do you foresee any more road bumps in the transition of ownership? And once A-Rod and Lori get majority ownership, do you think KG will finally get his number retired here? And so I'll start number one, Michelle. I am of the feeling that A-Rod and Mark Lori really do believe that they have assembled a great and strong financial package that is ready for approval as soon as the league is ready to do it. And they're ready to go through that process and they're ready to take on all questions about it. They feel confident. I do, but I don't think this is absolutely 100% slam dunk done. The league is really going to look at it and make sure that not only, again, to reiterate, not only are they able to pay the money to buy the team, but that they have the kind of resources financially to be able to pay, keep the lights on at Target Center, to probably pay the luxury tax for the Timberwolves, going forward, you know, for a team that's going to be competitive over the next few years. So they're going to look really closely at all of that to make sure everything is in order before they are approved. So while today is a big, big day for Lori and Rodriguez, I still just have to say that this is not done. We will see what happens here over the next several weeks. I don't know how long it's going to have to take. It's going to take to play out. But this process is still a process. And then on KG, I think that once the transition does happen, I think that really does open the door for some sort of ceremony for KG, statue, you know, jersey in the rafters, all of those things. How long will it take? I'm not exactly sure, but I do know that the organization in general believes it's a priority to get something like that done, to honor him and to kind of repair some of the relationship. And that will be something that I will foresee happening if this transfer does happen. I think that you'll see KG back at Target Center for a ceremony sooner than later. Is it next year? I don't know, but sooner than later. And we'll get to go on that. So thanks again for your question, Michelle. Thanks again to Shepherd Goods Lamb Chops Clothing. Go to sglambchops.com, JohnK20, for 20% off at Lamb Chops.
For John Krasinski and Brandon Morton, I'm Jim Suhan. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.